Welcome to Inside Analog Photography Radio Program. I'm your host, Scott Shepard, and of course, the Inside Analog Photography Radio Program is all about traditional process photography. We talk about instant photography. We talk about black and white. We talk about color film. We talk about dry plate, wet plate, you name it, alternate printing processes, everything going on in analog photography. And of course, the Inside Analog Photography Radio Program is brought to you by Fujifilm over at www.fujifilmusa.com/professional. They have beautiful C41 color neg, black and white, color chrome, and of course, instant. Instant film rocks. These guys have so much great things going on right now with instant film. Of course, they have the pack film in 3.25 by 4.25 and 4.5. Color, black and white, high-speed black and white. But you know what's even cooler? They have the Instax cameras and film. The Instax Wide is in the country, available everywhere. And of course, right now, brand new, the Instax Mini is now in the U.S. They have cameras. They have film. This Instax Mini is 2.5 by 3.5. It's the size of a business card. This is really fun stuff. You got to check it out. www.fujifilmusa.com/professional, making life more colorful. Our friends at Richard Photo Lab, the place to send all your film to get developed, proofs, you name it. They got a great workflow going. www.richardphotolab.com. DR5 for the most unbelievable proprietary process to turn your black and white film into positives, into chrome. You won't believe until you get your film back as a piece of chrome will blow your mind. The dynamic range, the latitude, it's just unbelievable stuff. Definitely check it out. www.dr5.com. Iger Studios, Lenny Iger, the place to have high-resolution scans done. You know, a lot of people now are shooting analog. They're using a high-resolution scan. They're making digital negatives on an inkjet, or maybe they're going straight to an inkjet output, but they're making digital negatives and they're printing contact prints. They're doing all the stuff you need to get a high-resolution scan. They're using an Aztec Premier, 8,000 PPI, adjustable aperture. They can give you scans that are basically grain-free. They can adjust it for every kind of film out there. This is crazy stuff going on with Lenny Iger and the guys at Iger Studios. Check them out, igerstudios.com. And of course, Upstrap at upstrap-pro.com. The camera strap that will not slide off your shoulder. Our media partners, www.apug.org, the Analog Photography User Group. The place on the web for all things analog process. This is a great place to learn, to share information, to get tips and tricks. The community for analog photography, www.apug.org. And of course, our photographic philanthropy partner, George Eastman House International Museum of Photography and Film, www.geh.org. The place to go to find out about the history of traditional analog photography. These people are keeping this alive. They have over 7,000 cameras in the museum of everything that's ever been made, including the Hasselblads that were shot on the moon. You name it. They have the collection. This is a great way to help support. You can be a member of George Eastman House organization. They have a lot of great things going on, but this is something you can do to help give back to photography, to help keep traditional analog photography alive for generations to come. Definitely check them out, www.geh.org. This week on Inside Analog Photo, we're going to have with Craig Fritz. Craig runs Twin Lens Images with his partner, Kitty. Today, we're going to talk to Craig about his career in photojournalism that started with the Santa Fe New Mexican, most recently a staff photographer with the Albuquerque Tribune, and now a documentary photojournalist, wedding photographer, shooting film, doing a lot of great work out of the Albuquerque area. A lot of great work that him and Kitty are up to. You can check out their website over at www.twinlensimages.com. Craig, how you doing today?
That's going really well.
Thanks for joining us here on Inside Analog Photo. Great to have you on the program to talk about what you guys are up to over there, Twin Lens Photography. So, Craig, tell me about you and Kitty have a very cool photography business there in New Mexico. You're between Santa Fe and Albuquerque. But tell me how you guys got into photography. I mean, I know that you have a very heavy editorial photojournalism background. Let's talk about that and how that transitioned over to Twin Lens and what you guys are doing now.
Yeah, we both had formerly been working for newspapers. Myself up in Santa Fe, the first full-time staff job was up in Santa Fe and then down at the Albuquerque Tribune. And Kitty was at the Albuquerque Journal. She left there back in 2003 when we had our daughter and was kind of doing mom and freelancer photographer at the same time. And then in 2008, the Albuquerque Tribune decided to shut its doors down. So we went full-time with Twin Lens. We had the kind of the choice to move looking for more journalism jobs or to stay here. We had always done weddings on the side, gosh, since at least 2000, if not before that. but the ratio was more weighted toward the journalism. And then 2008, we switched that around. It always kind of been building more and more, and switched that around and went full-time with weddings. Now we get to work together, and it's a blast, having a good time.
So how is the wedding business in that part of the country?
It's been really good. It's been really consistent. This last year, I think everybody, and we were kind of biting our nails a little bit, thinking, okay, so what's it going to be like? How are people going to cut back? And to tell you the truth, we had our best year ever, which was a great thing, and really had a nice time. Couldn't really complain about business. It went well. We probably did a little more local weddings than we had the years before. We had tended to travel a little bit more, and it looks like this next year the travel is going to be a bigger part as well. But locally, things worked out good for us. It's mostly in Santa Fe is where we're concentrated.
This is great, and it's great to see that business is sort of coming back and you're actually getting more local work.
Yeah, we weren't complaining. And again, we didn't know how it was going to pan out, and I think their way of scaling back the weddings is we won't fly somebody out for it.
Well, there you go. So let's talk about how you've incorporated film into your workflow. Did you guys always like film from when you started in photography before you were even shooting for newspapers? Tell me about your love for analog capture.
Yeah, both of us grew up school and started working in film. I started shooting full-time for newspapers in 94 and Kitty shortly thereafter as well. And everything was film, and it's always on deadline, and you had to be very familiar with how it worked and why it worked the way it did. And that was really the heaviest part of our repertoire. When we were shooting weddings, that's what we were doing as well. We started off with film, because at that time, digital just wasn't to the point where you'd want to be shooting it for somebody that's planning on making a really nice big print. And the back-end workflow wasn't really there, and we love film. It's, to this point, still, oh gosh, I haven't exactly counted the years, but I'm going to believe I've pushed the button on more film cameras than I have on digital cameras to this point for sure. So it's where we started and still have a total affinity for it.
What do you see in wedding photography today with the quality of digital cameras these days? The high ISO, the 5D Mark II, the Nikon D3, and now the D3S and the 1D Mark IV. I mean, now you can really shoot some extremely high ISO imagery, but you guys still continue to like to shoot on film. Now, of course, everybody's shooting digital. At some point, you're shooting digital too into the whole workflow. But let's talk about this quality that you're getting now from the digital versus what you're still getting from film.
Yeah, for the high ISO stuff, the digital is great. It serves that purpose for sure. The film, however, if you know what you're doing and you're used to the film, there's a look there that you can't beat as far as how we feel about it. And especially with the medium format, because that's what we're really shooting the most of our film on. It's all 6x6. And we're shooting both twin lens reflex and holos, and occasionally mixing in other cameras too. Between Kitty and I, since we both shoot, it's a closet full of cameras that need to get used more often.
So let's talk about that, because you've been shooting for many, many years now, and you have gone through the whole digital transition from the early digital to what you're shooting now. What do you think sets apart the film look compared to what you're doing digital? Because you guys are very versed in Photoshop. And there's a lot of great plugins from Nik and some other companies that can make digital images emulate the look of film, but then you still want to shoot film. You still have to pay for film. You got to pay for developing and scanning. So there's got to be something with the film that you haven't been able to capture yet with the digital.
Yeah, there is. There's a quality there, and it's hard to quantify. We haven't messed with a lot of the automated stuff for the digital, and I've seen stuff, and I'm sure you can make pretty much anything look like film. The beauty for us lies in the 2.25. There is so much negative there to deal with, and it is beautiful. It's so smooth. We shoot the Ilford 3200, and you look at that, and you're looking at a negative that's 4 times the size of a 35, at least. And the grain structure is great, and it's got its own look to it. In a way, I think it's kind of nostalgic. Our clients, I don't necessarily know why it looks better or why they like it better. I should say, I don't know if they know why they like it better. But you look at it and you're like, oh, it reminds me of something. And it brings them back. For us, one of the reasons we really shoot the film is because of the aesthetics that go along with it. All the way from the grain structure, but also to the fact that it takes us long to slow down and compose with 2.25 and more of a methodical process. That's one of the reasons we really like it. Still, the digital is there and we shoot it and we use it for the times when you just got to react and capture those moments. And for us, that's kind of what the wedding photography is built on for us, is the moments kind of stuff.
Let's talk about that, because of your guys' photojournalistic background, do you tend to push most of your wedding work as photojournalistic to where you guys are just sort of back in the corner picking things up? Do you do a lot of direction? Tell me about your actually style of what you guys are doing.
Yeah, if we could be invisible, it would be great. We always tell people fly on the wall is what we're going for. There will be the odd occasions where we'll be like, oh, just wait just 1 second and we'll shoot something and they move on. But we really don't do direction. Everybody has their ideas of what they want out of their photography for their wedding. We're looking for the clients that kind of don't want to be reminded that there's a wedding photographer around. So in our capture, that's kind of the way we go. Photojournalism, it's become kind of a buzzword, and you'll hear people using it, and they'll be like, we shoot in a photojournalistic style. And you're like, well, it's not a style. For us, it's a way of life. It's the way we were trained. It's the way we know. It's not a matter of trying to emulate something. That's just the way it is. So we've actually kind of pushed toward saying documentary, because I think it's got a little bit better ring to it, and sometimes I think when you conjure up photojournalism, we've got this idea of this really active photographer jumping around everywhere and getting all the different angles, and kind of this flash of paparazzi comes around into your head. That's the last thing we want anybody thinking it's going to be like when we're covering their wedding.
Do you find your clients come to you because you guys are shooting film? Is there anything ever brought up with your client about, oh, well, I found you guys because I want people to shoot my gig on film? Or is it a look, or what do you find that people are actually looking for?
It can be a mix. We have definitely had people come to us and say, the reason we hired you was because you shoot film. That has definitely happened. And you'll find that that's more the artists or the people with an advertising background or other photographers. That has certainly happened. And when we do, kind of a broad smile comes across our face because we're like, oh, you know the difference. And we'll start talking about different cameras and stuff like that. And when you find out they speak the language, there are those. And then there's others that they say, we like the style. We like what you do. For them, they don't know the difference between one camera and another, but they just appreciate that we're kind of trying to capture the feel of the day. Those are kind of the two different segments that come to us, and we certainly appreciate both. But it's fun when somebody can quantify the difference or recognize the difference between that and just kind of nonstop shooting with the digital, where it doesn't really matter if you push the button 5,000 times.
What's your thoughts on this convergence, or what people are talking about convergence when it comes to shooting video along with their stills? Have you seen any of this? Have you had people request, hey, can you guys shoot some video for us too?
Right. Yeah. We've had people say, do you know a video photographer, or do you shoot video? We've never had anybody really say, well, why can't you? Because you've got a camera there that can do it. For the gifted individuals who can pull off both, man, more power to them. I think it's great. It's not, however, what we do. So we've kind of said it's an incredible medium for sure. But our strength lies, hopefully, in kind of the aesthetic and the storytelling moments that we capture in stills. We've dabbled with the video functions on our cameras. You put a prime lens on there, wide open, and wow, it's really cool. I've got some fun video of my daughter doing daughter things with it. They get spread around on Facebook, and we enjoy showing them to friends. But as far as a medium to what we would do for clients at this point, it would be a lot more work, and I think our strength lies elsewhere.
So let's talk about gear. So you guys are shooting with some twin lens cameras, of course. What do you like?
We shoot with Mamiya C330s, different F and S series, and also shoot with a Yashica 635. That was one of the original twin lenses that we had kind of gotten into to play around with and got used to the way they were set up. Have played with the Rollies as well and really like the 2.8 lenses on them. So those are primarily the twin lenses we've got. We'll shoot with the Hasselblad Contax 645. We love that camera. Just don't get it out of the closet enough. Gosh, other medium format cameras, I'm trying to think. There's more. What else is there? But those are the ones that we're shooting with on an occasional basis, but mostly it's the twin lens. And then we shoot with a lot of Holga, too. It's been really fun to shoot weddings with those. You never know what you're going to get, but we've kind of learned the tricks of them. It's unlike what most people are expecting, and they get it. Whether or not it's a photo of the bride or groom or just something really scenic or aesthetic, you can make a giant print out of those things. It's a blast.
What do you guys like shooting for film? What kind of emulsion do you like to shoot on?
For film, we're mostly shooting Fuji for the color, 160, 400, 800. And then we're shooting Delta 100, HP5, and Ilford 3200 for black and white. All of the above have been great. We are big, high ASA shooters, so we go through that 3200 like nobody's business.
Isn't that stuff great?
Yeah, it's marvelous. Compare that when I was shooting for newspapers. We were shooting 3200 on Deadline and whatnot, and we're shooting Kodak P3200, which I'm assuming they still make. I haven't shot it in a long time, but by the time you squeeze a 35mm frame into that, then you go to the 2.25 and have the Ilford. For being the ASA that it is so smooth. We love it.
No, it's beautiful stuff. So let's talk about your workflow. So you shoot all this great film, of course, with your digital stuff at the wedding, because no matter what happens, even with the ISO and shooting 3200, I mean, a lot of people can get away with it, but I think there's a fine mix between using digital and analog still. Like you guys said, that the analog photography is something that's really more probably of the special stuff, maybe some of the more formal portraits, something when you want to get something that you want to make a big print and you just want that really fine detail. Like you said, there's a look to it that you can't get with digital, even if you do these other ancillary post-processing stuff, still, it's not the same.
Yeah, it's not the same. On occasion, it'll be like, okay, we're going to send this off to the lab and have a really nice fiber print made of it. There's a look there for yourself and for your clients you just can't get somewhere else. And maybe it's just the knowledge that it's a fiber print behind that piece of glass. But it feels different, it looks different, and we walk in the room or when we show it to a client, we feel good about it.
So let's talk about your post-processing of your film. So let's say you shot your film, and of course, everybody knows what you're doing with the digital stuff, but let's talk about your film. You souping everything yourself? Are you sending stuff to a lab? How are you guys doing that?
Yeah, we're sending it out to a lab. We sent it to Richard out in L.A. We had looked around for local labs here for a while, but it just kind of hasn't panned out. And Richard, they do a great job. We've been really impressed with what they're doing. I get good large scans from them, and they'll upload FTP and download from there. So being the large scans, that can take a while. But I feel like if we're bothering to shoot that, there's no reason not to have a good scan of it. Certainly the more expensive side of things, and if it was a sheerly business decision, I suppose we wouldn't shoot film or wouldn't get the good scans. But do that, and so we'll bring them down into Lightroom, and toning the film stuff is really easy. It's already done for you as long as you did a good job shooting it. Output from there for either prints, put them online, slideshows, or whatever that our clients are looking for.
Tell me some stuff here, Craig, that you guys are looking forward to doing in the future with your wedding photography, maybe some other additional editorial work. What do you guys want to do as photographers moving forward that you're not getting to do right now? Is there some special project you want to do? Shoot 4x5 portrait? I mean, what do you guys like to do that you haven't done?
Well, there's a couple things. We're thinking, gosh, wouldn't it be great to have a package or find clients who are looking for exclusively film or looking even, say, exclusively black and white? We tend to shoot a lot of black and white and really love it to that dream client that would walk in the door and say, okay, tell you what, I want all black and white, all 2 1/4 and go for it and have a blast. If we could start marketing to clients like that, it would be so much fun. Something else that we're doing and we really enjoy, we think there's such a great community out there. We've made so many friends over the years of working in photography and we know so many good photographers that may or may not have their own wedding biz going. But to collaborate with them and work with them, even if we're not necessarily the one shooting, but trying to find somebody that's got a certain look that is really journalistic in the way they cover a wedding and mixing that with another person that does really good still life and portraiture work and being able to combine those two for clients, kind of mix and match per client or even kind of work in the two photographers so that they see what the kind of look that they've got in there together is. Because like you said, there's a million ways you can do things in post-processing. But when you bring it down to their eye and how they see things, that's for us the most important thing. If you can combine those between getting to work with other photographers, that's a blast. It's probably a niche market just because you're flying people around and the expense gets pretty high pretty quickly, but it'd be really fun to do that.
Very, very cool. So tell me here about where we can find out about your guys' beautiful photography, this work that you're doing. I know you have a website up. How can we go look at what you guys are up to?
Yeah, we've got website stuff up. We've got a little Facebook page, which kind of is our more current stuff, and it's got slideshows on there and just kind of current things that are happening if we've been featured in some blogs or whatnot. Those are really our main outlets. We do not have a dedicated blog. We kind of treat Facebook in that manner, which has been really good because it gets the word spread out really quick to friends of friends and whatnot. People can look at it that way. And then there's blog posts here and there that come and go, but are another nice way of spreading the word.
Now, you also have your personal website, too.
Yeah, I've got a personal website up. It kind of harkens back to more of the journalism and documentary work that I've done. It's still in both Kitty and I's blood. We're hoping to kind of get that a little more updated with more of Kitty's work as well. It's not that she doesn't have plenty of it. It's just when we kind of were switching gears between the journalism world and the wedding and commercial world, one of the things we were kind of like, oh, quick, put up a website that's got this. And we got that up and we need to kind of get it updated. But it's still certainly a passion that we enjoy occasionally shooting from magazines and newspapers that are finding things they need in New Mexico. Wire services too, which is always a very different vibe than weddings, but fun to be sure.
Definitely. Craig, I really appreciate you joining us today. This is beautiful photography you guys are doing and what's up with you and Kitty. And this is just cool stuff. And I appreciate you spending some time talking about how you guys are utilizing film. And just doing this beautiful documentary weddings and all the work you're doing is really, really cool.
I appreciate it, Scott. It's really nice to share with you.
Well, there you go. Craig Fritz with TwinLensImages.com. And of course, you can check out Craig's very cool personal website of his editorial work over at www.craigfritz, that's F-R-I-T-Z, craigfritz.com. The Inside Analog Photography radio program has been brought to you by Fujifilm, making life more colorful over at www.fujifilmusa.com. Our friends at Richard Photo Lab at richardphotolab.com. DR5 over at www.dr5.com. Iger Studios over at igerstudios.com. Upstrap at upstrap-pro.com. And of course, our media partners, APUG, the Analog Photography User Group, over at www.apug.org. Our photography philanthropy partners, George Eastman House International Museum of Photography and Film, over at www.geh.org. I've been your host, Scott Shepard, here on Inside Analog Photography Radio. We'll be back next week with more great analog photography.